What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 105 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess. And we are back. For those who are listening just through sound, Tess put up the peace sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a dope show for you today. Before we get into that, though, I do want to make mention of some of the things that I've seen or done since we've, you know, recorded last. Mm-hmm. I got to see The Blackening with, I got to see an early screening of The Blackening. And I brought my friend Dre, who's been on the podcast. He was on here.
Yes, he has.
And I need to go get him back so we can talk about that film. But it's funny. It's a funny film. And I think that it's one of the better, like, comedy's hard to do, I think. And a lot of comedies that have released recently, like I talked about Cocaine Bear and how that was like not what I thought it was going to be.
Kind of wild.
And so this is another horror comedy film or whatever. And this is funny. But it's mainly funny for Black folks. White people can get it too, but it's mainly funny for Black people. I will say this though. I actually agree with it. It actually got rave reviews mostly. There's some reviews that are on the negative side. And I actually agree with some of the sentiment because going into it, you're thinking more of Get Out in terms of layering of, you know, ideas and all those other things, dealing with Black people in horror and what that means on several levels. You know, whether it be the tropes that are negative, like, you know, the Black person dies first. Well, you have a whole Black cast, so.
Yeah, everybody's Black, so.
You know what I'm saying? You know, things like that. And it's a little on the shallow side. It doesn't go the way of Get Out. There's no profoundness in its messaging. And I understand how that could be a letdown for a lot of folks. At the same time, I laughed a lot. I think it's one of those things where, like, it's just, you kind of understand it. There is a bit of a letdown in the sense that it is a little shallow because there's some really key messages in it that are kind of like washed over. Like when you watch it, when you guys eventually check out the film, I'm not going to spoil anything, but when you get to the villain's reasoning for doing the things that they do, it's actually really profound what he's doing. And but it's shown in a very shallow way. So if you're just looking at it, like, just, you know, what's being presented, you'll be like, man, this isn't really, that's it? That's all he was upset about, you know, or she was upset about? But then when you figure out what's happening under the layering, the commentary and everything, it's like, oh, that's actually pretty deep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it stops there. And that's where the criticism comes in from the reviews. And I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. I'm not even mad at y'all. Not mad at y'all at all. But I think it's fun. Definitely a fun film. Go with a group of Black folks, and I think you'll have a very good time. Unfortunately, and I don't know. I hope this comes to the DVD, or, you know, when they release it or whatever. But the version that I saw, because it was an early screening, it had extra bits at the end after the credits, and so there's this whole game show where they talk about, like, you know, who's the blackest, essentially. And they ask questions that a lot of Black people know. And tell me why I got, like, all of them right but one. me and my man Dre was like, why do Black people have the same experiences all over the planet? Like, it's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy. Like, one of them was like, it was like basically something about, like, what do Black people keep underneath their sink, like in the kitchen or whatever. And I was like plastic bags. And they're like, plastic bags.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, plastic bags.
My man Dre was like, I have plastic bags right now.
Yeah.
He's like, we are the most recycling people ever.
Definitely plastic bags.
It makes sense, right? And so yeah, just stuff like that. It was really dope. I think people should check it out, especially if you're a horror fan. It's not scary at all. I'm just letting you know, it's just not.
It's like a scary movie.
It's comical. Right. Right. So I checked out that. Also saw Transformers, and that was great.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was like a big Saturday morning cartoon.
Awesome.
And really the bar was low. They just had to be better than the Michael Bay films.
Michael Bay,
Bumblebee was good, and this is really good too. It also had a Black director, so the cast is mainly, you know, people of color and everything. You can kind of tell by how things were shot. It's incorporated with 90s hip hop. It's a lot of cool stuff is happening in this film. And I enjoyed it a lot. I think it does follow the formulaic aspects of other Transformer films where there's this MacGuffin that they have to find and they're running around the planet trying to get it before the bad guys do, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah,
the stuff that happens in the in-between time is actually pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's corny, but entertaining.
It's Transformers.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen that, definitely check that out. If you're a fan, I'm a big Transformer fan.
Yeah,
and so I'm going to see everything Transformer related. That's just it's what it is. It's what it is. Were you able to check out anything this week or this past week?
I saw some Black Mirror.
Nice, nice.
Black Mirror is back, y'all. And all I have to do is say the exact same things that I said before, man. This show's trippy. I'm not done with the season at all. Like I was tired, and I think that I watched the first four episodes and four. I don't know if I got to five. You know, the thing with Black Mirror, especially after you watch five seasons of that show, you start to recognize twists. And if you're an ADHDer like me, you typically get twists before they happen because your, you know, overactive brain is doing the work, which is why the show is actually pretty decent, because they know that you're going to see the twists. So they twist again and twist again. And so it's always a little bit harder to get it. And I mean, and I like that. I like being surprised. What I don't like is when you have a twist that goes, that like twists too many times, where it's just like, wait, what were you trying to teach us then? Like, this is just bad.
They twist themselves around.
So anyway, it's good. Like the first few episodes that I saw, and I've seen some comments that some people have made, but again, I haven't seen the whole season, so I can't like comment on everything. But you know, originally with Black Mirror, it was always supposed to be like at one hour to 1.5 hour episode. Like there's only a couple episodes that I think that were longer than like an hour or hour 10.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple that maybe were an hour and a half, or they were, you know, a two parter. And some of those are like really amazing, but their intention was always to be movies like that. They're movies. That's kind of what they are, because a lot of them didn't connect with each other, especially in the beginning. They didn't connect to each other. And then later on, it started becoming more of a universe where some episodes actually connect. And then the director actually used repeat actors, because at first he didn't do that. Now there's callbacks to everything. Like the music that plays in one episode is the song that was sung in an episode in season two or something like that. And then, then you see like the Netflix episode. So there's a Netflix episode, basically. It's very, I think it's well played. There is a direct call to a character in a whole nether, you know, in the movie, the actual Black Mirror movie. And it's like, this is awesome. I appreciate those little drops, the little, you know, but yeah, it was really good. A lot of people are talking about the Netflix episode. Joan is terrible or something or whatever. Joan is awful. And that was fun. You know, I thought that was fun. You know, I saw some people say some things. They were like, oh, you know, it's like Salma Hayek drop is stupid. And I was like, Salma Hayek has reached mother status. Okay. So when somebody is mother, mother status. Okay. Tilda Swinton, mother status. Judi Dench, mother status. Angela Bassett, mother status. Shut up. Don't talk nothing about Salma Hayek.
Okay. Mother and auntie.
You know, hello. Hello. You're like, hey, auntie. I've watched several episodes and I'm not disappointed. I did see it's not called the Sea of Tranquility. Obviously, that's a crater in the moon. I believe it's a crater in the moon, but
I believe so. Yeah. I
forgot what this episode was called, but you know, the space episode. And I thought it was really good. I did think it was kind of like, at the end, I was sitting there like, but what's going to happen? You know, it's one of those things where something happens and it's like, but won't the police come? Like, you know what? You can twist something around so much. He's like, oh, okay, well, this is the twist and this is the twist and this is what this person wanted the other person to feel. But aren't the police going to come?
Like, yeah, there has to be some type of consequence to what's
there
happening.
There has to be consequences. I mean, so anyway, so yeah, so there was that. But I'm obviously I'm enjoying the new season. I'm just so glad that we finally did pick back up, because I think the original reason why the creator didn't want to continue was because, like, when the pandemic happened and, like, Black Mirror things seem to be more of a reality. He's like, this is depressing and I don't think I want to do this anymore. And you know what? It only took a couple of years and now we're all back to our, like, sadistic masochist selves. And, you know, we want this again.
Well, because
you
think about it, like, Netflix recently revealed the cast that's coming to Squid Games 2. So it makes sense. Interesting thing, though, is that we all are coming, I guess humanity is coming back to this point where we never really left. I think for us, because we spoke about it on previous podcasts where the apocalyptic stuff actually was comforting, because it's like, oh, it's not that bad. Like when we saw, was it Tokyo Sinking or?
Japan Sinks.
That anime. Yeah, Japan Sinks. And how like doom in the vibe of, like, just create doom that anime gave off. And it was like, no, this is refreshing. And it's like, it sounds weird because a lot of bad stuff is happening to these characters. But at the same time, it's like, we're in a pandemic, but it's not like that.
Yeah.
And so you could kind of, it's a weird thing. We explained it better previous episodes. Go check that one out.
But, Which one it is.
Right. So, like, Black Mirror to me is like, this is kind of an escape anyways, because we're not living in that sort of environment.
We're not.
So for me, I would have been like, we could do Black Mirror, like, if I was the director. But I guess that would be different when you actually have to write it and put it together and stuff like that. You have to kind of live in that space.
Yeah.
So I could kind of see that being negative. Yes, that's wild.
Speaking
of Netflix, though, and them announcing things, they finally announced the project that the Game of Thrones writers have been working on. And writers, not the book, but the actual show that went off the rails on the last season. That being D.B. West and David Benioff. I think that's how you say his last name.
Benioff. Dave and Buster.
That's right, Dave and Buster. And that's Three Body Program. And what's dope about this? Three Body Problem. And what's dope about this is the fact that it is it's a book, a trilogy that's already been written and is done. So one of the biggest criticisms outside of all the other random things that happened on the show was the fact that once they were at the end of the books, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
With Game of Thrones. And you can tell the quality of the seasons went down, like, it just skydived after a certain season. And it's because they ran out of material. And so they kind of had to make it up as they go. And that didn't do so well. And, like, they are, to their credit, they are creative.
Yeah, they are.
They were able to, you know, but it's at the same time, it's like, you have to work with what you can work with. And because they're working with an already established world that was built up so well, it's rough to kind of finish that on your own. Totally understand that. And so what I was looking forward to seeing from them potentially is either a brand new thing that they just come up with themselves. So they, you know, they're not following anybody else, or something that's finished. So you can screw it up. We've seen that.
But yeah.
You have something to go by. And when they have something to go by, I think they do really, really well.
Yeah.
And so with the Three Body Program, I think that they're going to do well. They're also are being partnered up with True Blood writer and the Terror Infinity showrunner Alexander Wu, and I believe it's going to be produced by, essentially, there's a lot of people who have worked on some really good television that are going to be helping them as well. I know that one of the executive producers is Rian Johnson from Knives Out and Brad Pitt. So there's a lot of people that are attached to this that potentially this is going to be a dope show coming to Netflix.
It should be.
Should be. That's mm-hmm. yeah, key. It should be a really good show. It's supposed to hit January 2024, and yeah, it is. It looks pretty cool. They dropped a teaser for it to kind of show, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening and whatnot. And at first, I wasn't really, I didn't understand what was going on mm-hmm. because it wasn't, it was vague, like in terms of what. Yeah. And granted, it's a teaser. It's supposed
and they
to be
should
vague,
make but... it. They want. They should keep it vague. Actually, I think they should. Yeah. That is my opinion. Keep it as vague as possible because it's a mind-bending book anyway. And yeah. Keep it as vague as possible so that people are just like, wait, what? Oh, this looks cool. Okay, yeah, sure. That's yeah. fine. Don't let people, don't drop everything. Don't drop everything in your teaser.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. You want to keep some to your chest. But apparently some things happen in 1960s China that affects things in the future through space and time. Mm-hmm. And so there's some things that are happening with, you know, the laws of nature and, you know, things unraveling and whatnot. They're supposed to be aliens. I'm not sure if they're aliens. I haven't read the books myself, mm-hmm. but there's supposed to be all this mystery and whatnot. And, you know, it has a whole Lost vibe to it, well, at least from what I saw.
Hopefully like, do this justice because, yeah, because right. Lost is trash. Yeah, right. Still to right. this day.
Final season of Lost, yeah.
Yep. What are y'all doing?
What is with the final seasons? Just tripping at the... I mean, I guess it's tough to tie in and wrap up a show in a good manner. But especially if you weren't... Oh, go ahead.
No, one of the things is... and I guess this is me getting older and getting a little bit wiser and kind of understanding more things. But I you know, we're the consumer at the end. We're the end user, you know,
right.
So we're going to see something like, this was enjoyable. This wasn't enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it comes to like show writing and how like nobody comes in and says, this is how it is A to Z. Right. Even though I think with Lost, they did say, okay, it was always only going to be this many seasons and it was always going to be da 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 da. And this is what's supposed to happen at the beginning. This was supposed to happen at the end. But even with that being said, they did a really bad job of the wrap up. Cause if, no matter what, at the end of Lost, if it was supposed to be that they went through this whole thing and then to have this creationism ending, which again, that's not the problem. The problem is that it came out of nowhere. The problem
and
is
you said it wasn't going to be that.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of was like, this is not going to be what you think it is. And it's like, oh, it is what we think it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just like it was just poorly done because I don't even want to talk about turning off half of your audience that isn't religious or anything like that, because you can do stuff that is religious that still is storytelling so that even people who are not religious or, you know, people who are anti said religion will still like it because the story is good. Like this is bad storytelling. And so I feel like, there are times when something is so good, it's just so good that it doesn't, you surprised yourself in what you wrote, you know, what you created. We have good examples of that. Obviously Lost being one, The Promised Neverland is a great example of that. I mean, that was probably just divine intervention because the creator is probably racist. Yeah. I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, things change, you know, as you start to work through things, you know, you have input from other writers. If you have a writer's room, mm-hmm. you know, you have input from the actors and like, you know, I think my character would kind of go this way.
Yeah.
Things change. And a lot of it, you know, to be honest, a lot of it changes for the better. Like when we see mm-hmm. shows end and then they have the interviews with the director and they're like, you know, we actually meant for this ending. I'm like, oh God, that would have been terrible. You know what I mean? Like, and so... But it's at the same time, it's like, man, like some of these really did end poorly, which was, you know, Game of Thrones. It did not. And mind you, Game of Thrones was so good. I was late on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm, I started watching after the season after the Red Wedding. Okay, I saw it all over Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people were like blowing it up. And I was like, I didn't own HBO at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this red wedding people are talking about? And I saw all the memes. I just didn't understand. And I was like, and a friend of mine was like, hey, look, just watch this. Just watch this.
Just watch
it. I started watching and I binged like so much of it. Mm-hmm. And then I started buying HBO just to finish, you know, I caught up with everybody. Mm-hmm. And then for it to end the way it ended, I was like, there was just very so much. Yeah, it was. And not even like, you know, aside from the fact that you built up so much lore and mystery and, you know, this final showdown for years, literally years.
Yeah.
Even if that wasn't the case, even if it was like an hour and some change film, the ending would still be poor.
Yeah.
Because of how you've portrayed these characters and what you let, you know, happen between them and the reason behind the you know, why they did the things that they did. It was just all very poorly planned.
Yeah. It didn't make any sense. And it was like, you can't just cover everything in ash and then act like that. And then, you know, use the popularity of Arya Stark to ride a horse through a whole bunch of ash and act like that's okay. Like, oh, this is so traumatic and so, no, you're escaping with good effects at that point. That was it. That was it. That was like, no.
I would have much rather had, and spoilers to people who, Game of Thrones, but I would have much rather had them lose initially with the other army.
Yeah.
Like the you know, winter was coming and it just destroyed everything and they're getting their way, they're going all the way back to the other person's castle and she won't let them in. And then the fire comes because like, you won't let us in and we're being chased by zombies or whatever the case. That would have been dope. Now we have a reason for her to burn because I don't care. My people are dying. We have a real conflict here that people can chew on because it's like, on one end, the world is potentially ending and you won't help us stop it.
Right.
And on the flip side, we're also like dying out here.
Yeah.
You know, do I destroy half the wall to get us in or do I, you know what I'm saying? Like there's some really cool things there. And it was just like, no, she gets upset and murders everyone. It's like, no, like,
no.
And people were so calling dumb. It. They were calling it online. It was like, please don't let her do this thing.
Yeah. We all knew. We were like, we're watching it and saying, so y'all really trying to have this Danny goes mad arc because like you guys are really, really, really pushing this. And it's like, you didn't write it though. You didn't, if Danny, because I have no problem with Danny going mad like the half the other Targaryens, but you didn't write it. You never wrote it. That under no circumstances did anything that happens to Dany in season 7 make her go mad. She was pissed. There's a difference between being insane and a difference with everybody who's supposed to be for you, working for you, trust them because you're only one person literally betraying you. I'm sorry. If 6 of your people just straight up betrayed you because for whatever stupidity, I'm going to kill them too. If I have the ability to, you're dying. Sorry, guys. Yeah. You're also
there's so many bad things that happen in that. So I'm hoping that Three Body Problem does not have this, you know, does not suffer the same fate because apparently the books are really good.
That's what I've been told. That's why they're in my audiobook. It's been there forever. Right. Like, I've been wanting to read these books for over a year. I did. I've been wanting to read these books since my concussion, like, and I couldn't read. Well, so I was like, because before then I was watching all my, you know, like, you know, watching all my online little videos. And that's when I stumbled upon Quinn and Quinn's like, read this book. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Great. And then I got a brain injury and couldn't read no more. So
like, that's not funny, but it's funny.
I know, right? It's like, oh, what happened? You can't read no more? Like, no, moving my eyes from side to side actually gives me real nausea. So, so like, audiobooks it is. Speaking of audiobooks, I've been listening to The Children of Húrin, read by Christopher Lee. And I gotta say, man, I should have been listening to more books by Christopher Lee a long time. I mean, like, Christopher Lee, the voice of, I mean, not the voice, the actor who plays Saruman, people, you should know this. Right. But man, that gravel, that voice.
Man, the right voice can really bring out a story. Oh, like, not just delivery, but just the sound.
Mm.
It's like there's some type of authority there that just works with a story.
Yeah.
It's like, I am listening. You have my attention, sir.
Oh, got my attention. I'm like,
this is great.
I know this now. I know this story. I'm going to make a side comment, though, on reading and audiobooks before we get back to our topic.
Yeah.
Audiobooks is not the same. And I think that's why I've literally always said, just side note, you know, my therapist, my concussion therapist saying, you know, you should do audio. Why don't you try audiobooks since reading is difficult? And I was like, well, I've always had an issue because I'm ADD. Like, I've always had this issue with like paying attention to things that I'm listening to.
Yeah.
And I am doing so well at paying attention to this book, probably because of his voice. And, you know, I just want to listen to it. But it is hard when you have a book that talks about locations, you know, places on a map, and then uses words that are not in your own language. And so those things become like fleeting. And they lead to a little bit of confusion, and then they lead to a bit of like memory loss because you can't triangulate it. You get what I'm saying though?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, what did you just tell me like in your awesome voice 3 minutes ago? Because since it doesn't exist in my reality, I can't place it. And luckily I am so familiar with Tolkien's work that these things are familiar to me, but not every, like, you know, that like I can't remember on the map the distances. Like if you're talking to me about the X rivers in Beleriand, I'm like, no, I can't remember all of those. I don't know where everything is. And so I'm getting a little confused. And I'm like, wait, I don't know this person. I don't know this name. I don't remember this person. I read this book 15 years ago, like that kind of stuff. So it's like that will never, ever replace having an actual book in hand. But it's a lot faster.
Facts. And audiobooks are great.
Like, they're so great.
Definitely.
Anyway.
I need to grab these to tell you the truth. Because I haven't had time.
Yeah.
I've been reading. I do have time and I don't. I have a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And the little bit of time to read that I do have, I'm in like my Marvel Unlimited app or whatever reading.
I'm playing
comics
Snap.
And why not? that too. Because it's hard to, like, and I bought a bunch of books. I bought some books recently.
Yeah.
And just like, just getting a moment to sit down and just not have to do anything and just read would be dope. I really got to set aside some time.
But,
hopefully, again, going back to what we were talking about, hopefully the show is good. I'm going to try to read the books prior to the show dropping. I do have some time. At least read the first book. I think it's going to be split in the seasons in the sense that they're not going to do all three books in one. I hope not.
Season. There's too much going on there. They're going to milk it. They want their money.
Exactly. they paid way too much for these guys. Way too much. Also, side note, if you're watching on YouTube, my camera's doing this funny, fuzzy thing, and I don't know why. And I was trying to fix it. And it's annoying. It's annoying me. So I'm sorry if it's annoying you. I need to get a new camera, apparently. But yeah, I don't get it. It'll be fine.
It always does it like 30 minutes. Like it always does it every, I don't even know. It always does it at some point.
It's just disrespectful. It is what it is. Just very disrespectful of my time.
Disrespectful.
Especially when it's like, you know, in post while we're talking before we start the show, it's like everything's great. And then it's like, and record. Just blows the hell up for whatever reason.
We have to go back to the video gaming. We have to go back to putting the video game instead of our face. I think this means that nobody wants to see our faces.
No, they have to. You have to see me. Speaking of stuff blowing up, we also want to talk about The Flash. Now, I'm not going to talk about some of the things that people want us to talk about, being, you know, the problematic actor and stuff like that. What we can talk about, though, is something that I think is very interesting. And that actually, it actually ties into our later topic and is the cameos. I'm not going to spoil the film. A lot of people haven't seen it yet. But if you've seen the trailers, you know that The Flash, you know, he goes through the multiverse. You know, he runs so fast that he breaks, you know, the laws governing time and space and all the other stuff. And he goes through to visit, like, Batman's in different eras. So, like, Michael Keaton's Batman is in the film, you know, so that's not a spoiler. That's in the trailer. Like it's been shown 100 million times. You're fine. Right. But there's other cameos that come up as well. But some of these cameos are from people that have passed away. Now we've seen something like this with, like Rogue One, where they had, I forgot the actor's name, but they actually CGI'd him into the film in this weird, uncanny valley type thing where it's like he looks real but not real kind of thing.
He looked like a video game character.
Yeah, and it was amazing in the sense that you could have a character come back, but it's also weird because the person passed away. Like this isn't like this isn't and I don't know who handles that. I don't know if it's their estate, you know, their family gave the okay and they're like cool. Or if Disney owns the rights to their to that particular person, because that could be a thing too.
I think Joan is awful.
Yeah, you know, where like and then like Luke coming back in, or like the younger version of Luke Skywalker in the Mandalorian show, how they're, you know, but this is this, at least that actor is alive, right?
Yeah, and can these can consent.
Right, can consent to this sort of thing. Whereas these people aren't. And so they're making cameos in this film. And what's interesting about this, outside of the fact that they're in the film to begin with, is that the producer or the people who are making the film actually took clips from YouTube and used them to voice the characters, or the they're people, but they're not people, if it makes sense, the cameos to make them sound, as opposed to like an actor who sounds like this particular person, they're like, no, we're going to use their actual voice but pull from YouTube. And that's just weird to me. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
And on one hand, I'm like, if the family said it was okay, they're getting paid for it. I would assume.
Yeah.
Then fine.
I think that's how they have to do it.
Okay. Cause then on the other hand, I'm like, they passed. Like, just let them, cause can you imagine, you know, let's say you have, you know, a famous family member who's been in a bunch of films, they pass away. Then years later, you just see them on screen talking as if they're there.
Yeah, like a CGI'd version of them that you know doesn't exist on.
Right. Like, even if the person's wife was like, yes, I'll do it, would their kids be okay with it? Like, does that not trigger something, or like just make you feel odd seeing your family member on screen if they're not? You know what I mean? Like, that's a weird. This is way past Coachella. Like, this is way past.
Yeah, it's not like Tupac, the interactive Coachella. Yeah, Coachella. Yeah, like the interactive Michael Jackson, you know, like those. It's a little, and which people had the same comment actually there. But it is a very interesting topic. I mean, obviously, like if the family consents to it, or you know, again, some people, they do sign away their likeness to be used. Because, you know, they did it a long time ago when they needed the money. That literally is what Joan is Awful is about. People signed away their likeness. And so they were able to create, you know, television using digital forms of people. And they can make it so realistic that nobody would know that it's not them. But also kind of in the same vein of what we're talking about, you know, how much I love Archer. We love Archer. Archer's amazing.
Right.
And Jessica Walter died prior to the show being finished. And the funny thing about that is that originally I read something that said that the show had been completed prior to her dying. So I really believed that. And then you realize that she's literally missing halfway through the season. And then that episode shows up in the end where she all of a sudden comes back and then was fighting. You know, Mallory comes back and is fighting, and then they used the audio from what, like season 7 or whatever, where she's like, I guess the old girl still got it. And I was like, it made me sad.
Yeah.
It made me sad because I was like, well, first of all, A, you guys didn't finish the recording, but B, it didn't feel right because it was reused. It was recycled audio. It wasn't new lines. They didn't synthesize her voice to make her say something new so that none of us ever caught on to the fact that stuff wasn't finished recording. And I mean, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong here. Just, hey, fucking Aisha Tyler, just tell me if I'm wrong. Like, I could be wrong. I don't know anything. I say this all the time and I don't know anything. But like hearing the exact same line that she said when she was, you know, in another season, in another episode, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like there's a weirdness to it. Sometimes it's invitable. I almost feel like, you know, when it came to Star Wars, the actor had passed away like long ago or whatnot. And so it was so long ago and it was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. But like, I can't imagine them doing Black Panther and then CGI. Literally CGIing Chad in there.
No.
You're going to put Chad in there like that? And I would be like, okay, wait, no, something's not right here.
Yeah. It's
I would feel away. What if they used audio from like 45?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's not.
Well, 42. I'm sorry. 42. 45.
You know, like it's not, because you think about it, it's not even if the family. We're not saying that you can't do what you want to do with your art.
With your art.
But we can't say that we feel uncomfortable by what you've done.
Yeah,
you know, and I think I would feel really uncomfortable in that regard. It would be different if it was like I know with the Fast and Furious, they were able to finish. I want to say they finished shooting with his brother. Like his brother was a stand-in and they only shot like from the back and you know what I mean? So it was like what they were doing was trying to finish something they had already started.
Mm-hmm.
And that I kind of get a little bit more.
Yeah.
This wasn't shot.
Yeah.
Like the Flash wasn't shot like years ago.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to finish it. This was, you know, unless I'm tripping, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And so you don't even need these cameos.
Hmm.
I get that they make, you know, they potentially make the film cool because you get to see these characters in the same area of one another, as opposed to being split, you know, separate entities of Batman and Superman and whoever. But at the same time, it's like, it's not really needed. Like if you could have the same, a similar effect could have happened with, so I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'm not going to spoil it for folks.
Don't.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Go see it. However, there are some really dope cameos in that film. But what they do is either they pull scenes directly from a film.
And that's what they should
do. And so it's almost like someone looking on a monitor and like witnessing another dimension and then that dimension playing out for you or they have another actor that represents that place. So let's say Chadwick passed away. So they had his sister cameo in a new film and she represents his universe. So you didn't have to use that particular actor. You can use someone else who, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they still got the cameos that they wanted, but in a way that felt more tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what kind of is bugging me here because you didn't have to have, I keep stopping because I don't want to say the name because then I'll spoil it, but you don't have to have this particular actor show up. You can have someone from that universe. You can have even the styling of the world from that universe. Because we know the difference between, let's say, Michael Keaton's Batman and how that, you know, everything looked like it was a play. Like they were in a Broadway performance of Batman versus the newer Batmans and how that looks. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of tell, right?
Yeah.
I think they could have done something like that as opposed to actually having these people here. And then the fact that you had to pull YouTube audio, you had to scrub the music away if there's any music. You know, I don't even know how that works. Like, did they own the audio? Like, it's such a thing. But it's so many
Public things.
You know what I'm saying?
Because they're public. But, like, why didn't... I didn't see it, so I don't know. Maybe you can answer this. Like, you know how, like, in Forrest Gump, they put Forrest in... The march, like the March on Washington, like they had him in there, go like, but aside the fact that it was like tasteful and comedic at the same time,
right?
Like, I feel like if the Flash is running through different universes, like they could just use film from then.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like you could, and that's what I was saying in terms of how they did it in the Spider-Verse film. Where it was just like a scene was pulled, like, oh, this is I know what film that came from.
Yeah.
If he's running through older films, even having him look different, like his visual, his appearance, you know, kind of stands out. Like, hey, you don't look like you came from the 70s. Like, you look like you have more color to you. You know what I'm saying? Which is hilarious in and of itself. But yeah, like, I don't know. There's other ways that it could have been done. It's not necessarily needed either, considering there's no, from what I understood, and I could be wrong, but there's no story element that's 100% needed or altered because of these cameos. It's not. Like, your basic story of what happens to him and why he's doing the things that he does is enough. This is just for bonus points. Like, shocking moment. This is going to make the theater erupt. You know, this is going to be great talking points. Apparently, it didn't save the film based on a lot of the reviews. But it's a cool moment that people were, you know, because we've gotten to this point where the multiverse in all aspects, whether it be Spider-Man, the MCU's multiverse, DC's multiverse, several other, you know, there's supposed to be a monsterverse, all these other verses of characters intermingling and everything. This is supposed to be another one. And so with that being said, I think it was like a one-up, like we're trying to one-up each other. Like, you know, we got such and such, you know, back from the grave. And it's like, you don't,
y'all got it. Like, all right, yeah, that's fine. You know, that's just the new, that's the future.
It's sad. It's sad on multiple levels. Speaking of sad, our last topic is the opening credit scene for Secret Invasion. Apparently, it's AI made. Marvel, not Marvel, or Disney. Yeah, I believe Disney. They hired Method Studios, which Method has done other special effects and effects for them before, but it was all done by people. In this case, they use artificial intelligence to set up the theme. Now, their thinking is that the AI, because it kind of, I don't want to say randomizes things, it pulls elements from other places and to make these images. And the idea is that you don't really know what you're looking at. And that's, you know, because it's about scrolls, and scrolls can look like any person at any particular time, right? And so the idea is that it's unsafe, it's mysterious, and all this other stuff. The problem, well, there's several problems with this, though. And they've spoken about how, you know, no one's going to lose their jobs. You know, this was, you know, AI is not going to take over and all this other stuff. And I just want to put yet there. There's a yet. So there's that problem. But then there's also the idea that AI, for the most part, steals work. The stuff that it pulls from is not AI as in the Terminator, Skynet. It's not a thinking thing. It's an algorithm. It pulls things. It pulls information. It pulls data. And the way it's creating these images is by pulling data from other artists, from artwork that it's seen and things that it, you know, Google's database of stuff, right? And then is used to create these scenes. Now, granted, someone went in and, you know, did some edits and whatnot, but it doesn't take away from the fact that these are being pulled from other places. And even the you know, the higher ups there don't fully understand it. They don't even know exactly. They're just like, oh, well, this seemed like a cool idea.
They literally said it. They're like, oh, we don't know what this does.
Exactly. There's like, this is a cool concept. And, you know, the what is it? The director and executive producer, Ali, I think it's Ali, sorry. He was saying that he didn't know. He's like, I don't know. I don't know how this works. But it seems like it's something that would be kind of cool and, you know, something that could potentially be a means to an end. Like, this is a new tool that we can create some really interesting things with. And Method Studios is saying that, you know, don't worry about it. The artists were there. We worked with it. And this was done with a custom AI tool. But we know that AI has been a hot ticket for a while now, with everything from people creating records with AI voices that sound like artists that passed away. You know, Timbaland was doing that recently with Biggie, and it was not a good look, Tim. It was not a good look. You know, we saw, like, with the, you know, people were making their avatars out of using the AI and whatnot, which actually led to some interesting class action lawsuits. Artists were suing places like DeviantArt and Stability AI because with their, you know, they were saying that their text-to-image AI tools were infringing rights on thousands of creative people and artists all over the world.
They were pulling. And,
because they're pulling the data, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's concerning, especially, so there's all that with it taking data, stealing and whatnot, but it's also concerning given what's happening right now with the strike, with the writer's strike. So anything that AI can do seemingly cheaper than what a human can do, people will go towards that. Mm-hmm. So whether it's writing, art, as we can see here, you know, music, like if they could just do the AI bits and kind of get someone to kind of look and make sure it's, you know, no one can prove that you've copied, you know, you copy someone else's work, then what's stopping them from using it?
Yeah.
And so that's why I said yet, when they were like, no artist was let go and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yet.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. These things get, it's moving very rapidly, this AI
it
stuff.
It's very fast.
And the fact that it's already in a show, you know, a big show that's coming to Disney Plus, it's concerning. You know, there was already, you know, talks with people talking about how, you know, we could come up with scripts using AI and like how.
I have a prime example on my Twitter page. Remember on my Twitter page when I was like, yeah, I really want this half Wakandan. I said, write this for me. Well, I don't remember what I said, but I was like, I want half Wakandan, half Targaryen. And I was like, and I'm just feeling too lazy to write it myself. Yeah. And then next thing I know, somebody posted like, hey, this is what I did with ChatGPT and sends me an entire synopsis of what this movie is about. Mind you, it was terrible.
Right.
It had T'Challa running off with Daenerys. And I was like,
stop. Pause. Rewind. Hell no. Okay.
That's not happening.
Play. we're not doing that. But yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I've seen this with someone tried to animate. They were like, you know, using the AI to animate and you know, make this whole scenario or whatever. And it looked terrible. Like there was no life. There was no heart. I did see someone also trying to, they wanted to make a children's book. And so they used the AI to edit or to make the pictures, the illustrations, and it looked bad. And I was like, you wonder what, like, they don't understand that people went to school for this. There's a whole design philosophy behind how you create art for children.
Yeah.
Even though all the books look different, there are certain things and cues that you have that you can, that are, make these books more approachable to kids.
Yeah.
What you have is not what you think you have, and it's not going to work the way you think.
Yeah.
It's going to work. And especially when you put it up next to a book that's illustrated by a person, right? And it's like, dog, like, one person said, I remember reading, they were like, they think that it's people who wanted to be creative but couldn't do it or didn't want to put in the work to be creative. And so now they feel this sense of freedom that they can be creative easily using these tools. And while that's interesting and potentially a boon for them, considering that you can map out an idea very quickly. At the end of the day, though, you need to create your own thing. And it shows when you haven't done it. Because I don't care how good the AI is going to get. There's a distinct difference between a human-created piece of art and a robotic piece of art. And yeah.
No, you're right. We're seeing it. And you know what's funny is, like, you know, they're like, okay, well, no artists were let go. We did this in tandem, whatever. Like, yeah, you can't let any human artists go because right now AI can't actually generate anything that looks right because you see all those, like you've seen those those like political shots that they're like, oh, you know, especially because of those pro-police, they're like pro-police pictures. Yeah. And then like they're posting all over Twitter, like this police officer rescued this Muslim girl from da da da. You know, the police are good. It was like all these pro police things. And it's like, and people, you know, they're liking the picture. Oh my God, this is so beautiful. Oh my God. Like, I'm really happy she was rescued. And then finally somebody says, this is AI. Like the police officer has six fingers. There's a reason why you can't get rid of humans yet because computers can't, they can't The AI making these pictures is not flawed. It's very flawed. Now it can make something very like beautiful to the eye. You're like, oh wow, this is cool. This is, and it happens so easily. Like you can sit, okay. You know, like, the guy who like does the, it's really cool, but the guy who online, he does like African versions of Japanese animation characters. So it's all the African versions of like Frieza and Vegeta and Trunks. And mind you, it's hilarious, especially because the Nigerian guy then goes and does their voices, or he does like Nigerian voices or Jamaican voices. Mind you, great. It's comedic. It's hilarious. It's awesome. Like, I love it. And that's fine. That's great. Whatever. Cause it's fun. But like, I don't know. It's different. It's like hobby. And at least the person is admitting it. Like, yo, this is not real. I didn't draw this. But it's like when you can look at something and you're like, oh, that's so cool. And it took 5 minutes or less to create. And it doesn't even take 5 minutes. You know, if you have the generator on your phone, you click it, you literally snap a selfie. And then next thing you know, you're an alien. And it took 15 seconds for the whole thing to happen. And we know that something of that caliber, when a human does it, takes hours upon hours or days or whatever. And so there's a lot of time invested. There's money here. And so I think obviously the idea is, how can we get things done faster and then just use the humans to clean up? It's like the self-checkout aisles that are always messing up. So then they decided, well, we just need to have like a human just stand there.
Right. And I'm not mad at the self-checkout, because, you know, I don't like to talk to people, but I get it. I totally get it. And what's interesting, even if it didn't have six fingers and, you know, multiple eyes and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's also the fact that there's no thought put into it.
Yeah,
the AI takes the basic of what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you put in black person, superhero, morning shot, whatever. And it'll pull these things from artists. It'll put it together. But then there won't be any logic to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And you can tell.
Great example. I have a great example for you. There's a conversation that I've been having online. Somebody did AI versions of Tolkien's characters. And so they did, they took some of the bigger names from the Silmarillion. And in the Silmarillion is, you know, mostly about the elves. Obviously, it does have some stories that include men and dwarves. And, you know, like little things or whatever, you know, Numenor or whatever. But somebody decided that they were going to take some of the big names from the Silmarillion and turn them into AI characters. And they're like, oh, you know, hey, here's my, and I'm like, okay, you're doing this for likes, because you clearly put no effort into this. And I'm one of the people who didn't like the video. And I said, look, like, these pictures are beautiful. But one person said they all look alike, because they did. They, all of these characters, they're like, they all look alike. Like, come on, dude. And then I said, look, okay, I'm just going to put it like, you know, these are pretty, whatever. But you have a whole bunch of elves here, and 90% of all of the elves that you listed have 5 o'clock shadows. And they also have like strong features. I'm sorry. Did you read Tolkien? Like, did you read? Elves don't have beards. There's only two elves that have beards. Two. Like, out of the millions of them, there's two. Okay. And they don't have these strong, rugged features that men have. Men are going to be the ones who have more broad features and more chiseling, and then elves look ethereal.
Yeah.
And what you've created is just some, like, you know, good looking, really cool pictures that are so detailed, and they're shading everywhere. And these, like, they kind of pull at your heartstrings, these images. You're like, oh wow, that is so man, like the coloring and all. Oh wow. But I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to be critical here. That's Maedhros. That's like one of my favorite elves. That's one of the, you know, I love them gray characters. He's terrible and great at the same time. This is a dude who like literally murdered people for his father's jewel, and like literally killed people because he was like cursed. Okay. But then he was a great dude. Great. Like, awesome. This is the dude who got hung up on the cliff for 24 years and like cried and told his cousin, just shoot me dead, kill me. And this cousin's like, okay, I'll kill you. I'm so sorry. And then it's like trying to shoot him. And it's like, oh no, I'm going to pray first. And then he gets saved. Like, come on. I love this character, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, does he have 5 o'clock shadow? I was like, wait, what? Why are he so rugged? Like, these people are 9,000 years old. Like, they're pretty. Get out of here. Like, what are you doing? And then, no, for real, everything looks alike. So that is just, it just goes to show that the computer is still a computer at this point in time. It's not a human. You know, the computer doesn't have nuance. It doesn't have the ability to kind of like, it doesn't have the same understanding.
At all. It doesn't have the understanding of tone. It doesn't have understanding of purpose even. Like, what is, like, it can create a scene, a police officer helps someone, but it'll do it in a way that people automatically recognize it to be false because there's no tone, there's no thought put in, because it's not AI. It's, we're calling it AI, but it's not. It's pulling information. It's no more AI than Google search engine is AI. It's more pulling information.
If I want to even call, you know, artificial intelligence, I would call it more like automated information, you know, like you have gotten as much data as you can. And another thing that people need to understand about where the data is being pulled from, it's not simply just the data that's being pulled from people's like DeviantArt accounts or just artwork that people have put online for the public to see, because they wanted people to see their artwork so they could start getting paid for the work that they love doing. It's not just pulling that stuff. It's pulling stuff that from apps that you have given permissions to on your phone.
Right.
Like, have you ever considered the fact that like you downloaded an app to just, you know, play cards on your phone, not play cards online with other people. You want to play solitaire on your phone while there's no service. Like, but did you realize that that app asked you for like a zillion permissions to read your call logs, to read your text messages, to read all of your keystrokes? Like, what, if you're just playing solitaire, what does that app need your keystrokes for? Like, what are these apps then give your data away, not all of them, but many of them, give your data away to data mining companies. I mean, people are data analysts. They get paid to literally analyze data that comes in.
Yeah. So they can sell you something. They can sell you something. Like, how much do you do this? What do you, I mean, we've all been there where, you know, and this is, this at this point is inescapable. We can't, outside of,
this is our world.
You know, getting like, you know, browsers like Opera and stuff like that, that kind of blocks a lot of these things. A lot of what we have is going to collect data no matter what we do. But with the AI stuff though, its purposing is moving towards something. At least with the targeted ads is like, all right, fine. I'm someone trying to sell me something. We've kind of been, we're used to that. But creating something from my data and then selling that and to other people is a weird thing. That's
and
a weird thing
it
that
as
we're
your
doing.
Own creation. You're using it as your, that is the thing. We like our normal thing, normal things that you and I would get up to on a daily basis. Just if I'm putting in my text message and saying, oh, I wake up every day at this time and I go to the gym and then I brush my teeth and I use this type of toothpaste, and I'm talking to my friend about, oh, I dyed my hair with henna and this is how my face looks now compared to, like, I'm just saying, like, let me just, you know, paint a picture of the conversations that I may have with somebody. And if an app is pulling that data and it's selling it to a company that is, has, you know, is using these data things to create something. And then next thing I know, 5 years down the line, a character has been created who's doing the exact same thing that I was telling my friend.
Or they look just like you.
They look
just
like me.
I think there was a case of that on, I believe there was a case of that. And I saw on Twitter where someone was like, their family was being used as like an ad for a product that they never heard of and never took pictures for and never was. And it's like, she was like, they're allowed to do that? Like, that's not, and granted they weren't, but because there's so much paperwork and whatnot that goes into that sort of thing, no one, like, there's so too many people, we don't have enough money to sue the amount of companies that we would need to for that to not be a thing. And because this is a thing that hasn't been, from what I understand, there's no laws created outside of direct likenesses in the form of like, if someone made a video game and put your likeness in it, or if you have a tattoo, your name, or you had a tattoo, and you were in, you were scanned and put in a video game, that artist, the tattoo artist, could actually be upset about that. That happened with I think it was The Rock. It was someone, whoever did, there was a famous person who had a big tattoo. Mm-hmm. They were in a movie or a video game. The artist who did the tattoo somehow had rights to that as well. I'm not sure how that works, because I thought once you put it on the person's body, it's theirs. But
it's theirs, right?
Only within a certain, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, you owe me some money for this because I did the work for that, right? Mm-hmm. So then now we get all this information. This person that's created has this person's tattoo, that has this person whatever, has this person's what, and they put it together, and it's like this algorithm of like features. But it's all stolen. And you can't do anything about it. It's just, there's not any, and then on top of that, it's not even used in a way that makes sense. It's like The Rock's arms on Loki's body. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird stuff. I think the Secret Invasion is the most contemporary or like functional version of this. And I think it's because artists went in behind it. But it's not a good move. It's not something that bodes well for the future.
That was interesting that they said it. Why did it become
because they don't understand. Because they were talking about like how interesting this is. Like, hey, want to know something cool? Because they were doing interviews to promote the show and whatnot. And like, you know, you want to know like how cool this is? I believe they were on, was it Screen Rant? I forget what.
That was their problem.
Site it was on. But they were talking about how they had reached out to different AI vendors to kind of see what they can do, because the AI is being talked about. All over the case. I think it was Polygon they spoke with. They were like, you know, we want to create something new, unique to us and all this other stuff, which is funny when they use the word unique.
Unique.
And so they were looking into AI to do this. But everything that was done in this.
Yeah, could have been done by a human.
Right. Could have been done by humans. I mean, it might have been cheaper. I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that
it would have cost more.
Yeah.
If they did humans.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much more, considering that it was done by a studio versus an app. They didn't use an app. It was Method Studios that they worked with. Right. You know, I don't know. Yeah.
It's just interesting. I mean, like, I get it. What they're basically, this has now become a topic of conversation because they didn't realize the negative ramifications of them actually being like, by the way, everybody, we're using AI, instead of just keeping it to yourself. Like, no, I don't think anybody except maybe artists would have been like, oh, cool, I wonder how they did this opening. Because I would have looked right past it. But the fact that this article, they're having that interview, and then they're saying, oh yeah, so we used AI for the opening. And it's like, you didn't need to tell us that. Like, when they did Trigun. Yeah. They're mad clueless. Because I'm saying, like, it's not like Trigun just said to everybody, oh, by the way, hey, we're going to do a CGI Trigun show. And this is like, but I mean, they may have said it to somebody, but it's like, that's not the draw here.
Right. Exactly.
The story is the draw. So however you make the, whatever medium you use, as long as, you know what I mean? But like, I didn't realize that it was so necessary for them to say.
And that's the thing. With them talking about it, it was more so like, hey, we think you're going to love the show, and we have a unique opening. And then it kind of came out from there. Mm-hmm. And because they're like, we don't know how it works. So it's like, you're because you don't know, you said something. If you knew.
Yeah, you wouldn't have said anything.
Which is why I believe them. Because if you knew, you might have been quiet about it. We had Method Studios do it, and that would have been it. But the fact that you spoke about it, it's like, oh, you don't know. And they admitted it. They said, like, we don't know. They did their magic.
We don't know anything.
It's the same thing with a lot of people who are on Twitter who are promoting the AI. They don't know how it works. They don't know what it's doing.
That it takes because of that.
I was asked by someone about it, being that I'm an artist, how I felt about it. And I was like, I think it's an interesting tool that could be used for referencing. Like, I want to create a scene and I need to know what this particular type of car looks like. Mm-hmm. It pulls that data and it makes that car. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I can use those tires. Everything else is mine, but I'm going to use those tires as a reference. Because that's what I do when I go to Google. If I go to draw something, I'll pull a picture of a car.
Yeah. And
I'll have or have multiple cars, different angles, mm-hmm. so I can get a picture in my head and then I yeah. make my own car. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
That's
so
it looks realistic. Does.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you can't physically go look at a car, right? And so I'm like, in that purpose, for that purpose, I think it works well because you can mm-hmm. quickly get something like, you know, spaceship, mm-hmm. You know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like you can get whatever you want really, really quickly, use it as a reference, create your own thing. Mm-hmm. That's what art does. But instead they're like, huh, let me just take the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this, no, mm-hmm. no.
That's what I feel like. Somebody like me who doesn't, I've never been good at drawing, like for real. I've tried anyway. And I feel like a lot of the AI stuff that I see, and again, I'm not saying that every person who's doing these AI artworks on their Instagrams, it's not an actual artist and they just, you know, mm-hmm. know how to do computer stuff. I'm not going to go far to say that because I don't know. I do know for a fact that there are people who are actually artists and then they're working with AI because it's a new tool and then they're cleaning them up and making them nice and then they're putting them on and being like, look what I did. But somebody like me, I know because it's easy, you can get these apps, you can pay for it, well, it's $20, you can pay for this app.
Right.
And then you can just put in your prompts and then create something and then you post it on your page and like, this is what I created using AI. And then all of a sudden everybody starts flocking towards your page because you're putting out all these cool pictures. And yeah, the prompts are yours, but the data being used, yeah. to make those pictures is being taken from other people's work. And the other thing yep. that I had, one of the first things that I ever read about AI pictures wasn't this. The first thing I read was they're like, hey guys, be careful with those apps, those AI picture apps, the ones that you take a picture of your face and then they turn you into something. And they're like, be careful of those because as soon as you do that, then that company owns that picture. And next thing you know, whatever you created could be used. They'll just take that artwork and they can use that to create something. And
it's a loop. It keeps going.
Yeah.
You have no, I mean, mm-hmm. granted you wouldn't have ownership anyways, because it's a bunch of stolen data, but then
yeah.
they can then use that and take it from you. It's so, mm-hmm. it's
bad on multiple levels. Like you took your right. own face and then
you added that piece.
You added that piece. You gave them your face. Like they own it now. That's part of the small print in the app. And they own it now. Yeah. They own your face. They like, because you know how the ones are like, oh, you can pick whatever you want. So it's like alien. And then now that's mm-hmm. your face as an alien. Or there's another one where it's like, oh, make me an anime character. Like, and you dress up or whatever. And then they just fluff your outfit about and then kind of like put you in a different pose, but still using your likeness. So it's like, hey, if another artist is looking on that database, because you know they pay that company too, and they're like, oh, that's a really cool character, I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna use this. It's like,
yeah,
you paid and them people, to turn you into a character. You're not even getting paid by whoever is gonna end up using your image in their show.
Exactly. And for people who don't realize like how terrible that is, because you might think, whatever, it's my face, I don't care. Like they have my face on YouTube and you know, Facebook and all this other place. I remember there was a case of an actress who didn't want to do a nude scene in a film,
mm-hmm.
and what they did was they superimposed her face on a model's body, but no one knew that.
Yeah.
So when you see the film, you think she's nude, and she was upset about that, and that, you know, they went to, you know, whatever they did, you know, with the courts and everything. But just think about that now. You're not, and at the very least, she got paid for the role.
Mm.
You're not getting paid, and that could potentially be you.
Yeah.
That could potentially be you mm-hmm. put in a compromising. We already, you know, online they're talking about how people can mimic your voice, then they mimic yeah. your face. And now someone could, I mean, we're getting to the point where someone could FaceTime someone you care about looking yeah. like you mm-hmm. with your voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
insane.
It's wild.
I'm being kidnapped. Give me, send money now. Look, if
right,
I ever call
would,
in,
yeah.
don't ever send money. Don't. I'm not worth it. I'm not. I'm just like, literally, they're like, you know what? Godspeed, Teresa. You've been on this earth for a long time. You haven't done nothing. So like, I'll be like, no.
Terrible.
Somebody FaceTimes you and says they're me asking for ransom. It's not me. I would never. I'm going to yeah. be the person who gets kidnapped. And I'll be like, am I talking too much? Do you want me? I cook. Do you guys want me to bake cookies? Like, are you guys good? Like, that's me.
Shoot. Yeah. Text me. Like, look, you have to prove yourself. Mm-mm, nope. We're not doing that. I'll be like, call your phone right now. Right? Hold up. Because apparently, hey Tess, apparently you've been kidnapped. Were you aware?
I'm like, what? I'm literally laying in the same spot. I've been here for 3 days playing Marvel Snap and Black Mirror is on in the background. What are y'all even talking about? Who is this person?
Yeah, see. Oh, man. But yeah, that is our show for today. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody that hung out with us. Yeah. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to hit that subscribe button at notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming. If you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, all those great places, add us there. Add us to your RSS feed, subscribe. Again, so you're up on all new content. Have a lot to talk about because there's no shortage of film, video games, and just everything else to talk about. I'm going to be talking about anime pretty soon because a couple of anime are coming up on their season finales. Some new shows have been popping up and new seasons of older shows have been popping up as well. And so I want to talk about that a little bit in the future episodes because some of these animated shows are very interesting in what they're doing and how they are handling certain topics that are mature. For instance, Crunchyroll does not have like, you know, pornographic material or anything on their show, but they do have shows that were made to be such. And so they're censored. And it's like a weird thing, like watching an anime, not even that, but like an anime that has nudity and that the manga has nudity, but then they censor it. And it's like, this just looks weird. This scene.
Why are you even doing it?
Right. And that's something we're going to talk about in the coming episodes. But apparently the anime is so popular that it's like, well, we're just going to do what we're going to do. And it's not just Crunchyroll, though. It's also on TV. It's censored as well.
I mean, we've seen that before. Censored. Yeah, that was Toonami. Like you had to stay up until 11:30 to watch. So what is his name? Duo Curse.
Yes. Adult Swim.
Before the Adult Swim, it was just Toonami at 11. Remember? Yes. Like, it was literally, and it was like, wait a minute, did Ryoko just say shit on TV?
Yeah.
You remember that when that happened?
Yes.
Ryoko flipped the bird and then said shit, and it was like, wait. Because they realized that they played the uncut version from the 11 o'clock show during the daytime and all the parents called the cable companies, and they were so pissed off.
Fam, if we had social media back then, it would have blew up. It would have blew all the way up. Like, good grief.
So funny. Anyway.
We got some more stuff to talk about in the coming show. So, yes, subscribe, notification bell, all that good stuff. Because I want you to come back.
Yeah.
Come back. Also, because some of you have been mentioning and leaving comments here and there about the show, things that you liked. Actually, only things that you like, which is great.
Hey, that's nice.
But, yeah, you haven't been suggesting anything. One person suggested that we do a breakdown of all the Moon Girl episodes or just a review of the whole show because we did a review of the first three episodes.
Yeah, we did.
They wanted us to kind of do a spoiler-based review of the whole show. And I was like, if we ever get time to check it out, then, you know, we can look into that. But they liked that episode so much that they wanted us to come back. So give us some more suggestions. More suggestions, and we'll look into them, you know, put them on the board.
Well, definitely.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we have time to watch stuff, I mean, it gets really hard to keep watch. But no, Moon Girl, I will do my best to get back on because I said I was going to, and then I didn't because I didn't do anything. So we'll do. We can tell us what you want us to review. We'll do it. We will definitely get there. We'll do it. That's it, y'all. That's it. Be kind, everybody. Wear your masks if you're going to be like in crowded places, even though like I didn't wear my mask today in my Uber. So anyway, it's okay. I'm not sick, but wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts and your legs. And, you know, just be nice. God.
Skip. Don't skip leg day.
Don't. Please don't. Please don't. I'm sorry. I have a whole new meeting. Be kind, everybody. Pray for Jackie Hanna. And that's it. That's it, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.